that's the picture. I can't think of an angrier person right there. So we're going to be talking about a biblical view of anger. And let's see here. I think we'll just move on to this quick. Okay, so I'm going to pass it. This is basically just two kids arguing, and it's really funny to hear their conversation. They're basically just silly, but you can't really hear it anyways. But when we're angry, right, it's funny to see it in a couple of little kids. Not so funny when you're on the receiving end of it with an adult or a fellow, somebody that you love or know. But what's interesting is not a lot of people ever say, hey, I'm just being simply angry, right? Usually when someone says that they're angry, they're saying, oh, I'm upset. I'm miffed. I'm distressed. I'm bothered. I'm frustrated. You know, I'm feeling sick. I'm having a bad day. No one ever says, I'm just sinfully angry. We have all these little phrases and idioms and ways that we explain our frustration. I use the frustration. I'm being a little frustrated. No, you're just being angry. But let me ask you a question. Where does anger come from? Have you ever thought about that? Like, why? What is anger? Well, you might be surprised to hear. Just making sure I'm on the right track here. Our ability to get angry results from being made in the image of God. That's a surprise. Really? Man was created in his image of God. God created, Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. One author states, God is both the angriest and most tender-hearted person in the Bible. Are you being redeemed into the image of this God and this Christ? Now think about this. If I was to ask you, who's the angriest person in the Bible? Probably most of you, well, I know I've asked this question in Bible studies before, and people have said things like, oh, the devil. Sure, or they'll come up with one of the baddies in the Bible, right? But then when I say, what about God? But isn't he, though? No one could be angrier than God. No one could be more loving than God. No one could be more gracious than God. But one of the things that David Powelson highlights is that you can't understand, he argues you can't understand God or man unless you understand at some level our anger. If you can't understand this attribute of God, one of the key attributes of God in the Old Testament is what? God is slow to anger. Slow to anger. What does that mean? His loving kindness. His hesed. His justice. You don't understand mercy unless you understand anger. That's what that means. Every human being, we all, this is quoting Paul, David Powelson. Every human being has a wealth of first-hand experience, both in doing anger and having others' anger done to them. But you cannot know what that means without seeing and hearing God. You won't know what to do with it. If I was to tell you that God has a big nose, what would you say to that? Like, it's a weird description. But in the Old Testament, God, it being slow to anger, in many passages, is translated literally, God has a big nose. That's actually the word picture that the Jews would use, the Israelites would use to describe God being slow to anger. Why? Because it takes a lot of work to flare up those nostrils. True, I'm telling you the truth. God, his nose is so big, it takes forever for him to be angry. Anger is natural. It's part of the human. It's part of the fabric of who we are. We're following in his image, and it's more. It's an emotion. It's more than an emotion. It's emotions are. If you think about it, when we describe anger, happiness, you know, that's a good emotion, right? Well, you know, if you go to a funeral and somebody's laughing at everybody who's in mourning, even though they're very happy, that's not a good thing. So it's not necessarily always good to be happy, right? God is angry at the wicked every day. Anger, there's places in the Bible that God, Jesus, even righteous men are angry. But it's morally neutral. If I say, be angry, if I point at you right now and say, go ahead, be angry, you'll look at me and go, to what? You have to be angry at something. It's a response. It needs to be fueled by what you believe, what you think, and what you value. And if your values are wrong, and then your anger will be put in the wrong place. That's often what happens. But if you're righteous, if you're like God, when God is angry, he's perfectly righteous. He's perfectly right to be angry because his righteousness dictates how that his anger is in the right place. And it's part of our spiritual makeup. Sorry, I'm not sure if I'm on the right spot. I mean, just one sec. So we express, okay, I'm not in the right spot. So we express our anger. There's righteous anger, there's unrighteous anger. That's really simple. Either you're doing the right thing or you're doing the wrong thing. And your motivations and what you think, believe, that's what dictates whether the anger that you're expressing is righteous or unrighteous. There are righteous angels and there are unrighteous angels. We call them demons. There are righteous ways to respond and there's unrighteous ways to respond. Sorry. All right. Now, when we talk about anger, again, in our hearts, you know, the bratty child who's not getting his way, that's us when we're angry. And we lash out, we respond the wrong way, and it's unrighteous. But put in the right way, I mean, what led Jesus to the cross was the anger that God had of our sin. It had to be dealt with. Jay Adams describes anger as an emotion that's created to tear something down. And if your motives are right, then what you want to tear down is something that's unrighteous. If your motives are wrong, which I think 99.999% of the time we are, then we're wanting to tear, we're mixing up something that, even if it's a response to something that is genuinely wrong, we're mixing it up with our own selfish ambitions, our own, you know, and we'll talk about that in a second, and it becomes unrighteous. But if you look at the cross, the righteousness of God is perfectly on display. His anger is on display. His wrath is on display. His hatred to the sin that we brought into this world is on display right there. And so is his love and his grace and his kindness, his patience and his justice, his mercy. Perfect balance. So there's righteous anger and there's unrighteous anger. Now let's look at a working definition. And I get this from Dr. Robert Jones, who's a professor at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He wrote, this was his dissertation on anger. And he then published it as Uprooting Anger. I think it's still in print. It's a great book. And I'm lifting this definition from him. And I'm going to be honest, I know it's a mouthful. This is his definition of anger. But we're going to unpack each section of it. And it's purposed each step of the way. And I think it's a great description of what a biblical understanding of what anger is. Anger is our whole person active response of negative moral judgment against perceived evil. You know? Okay, great. What does that mean? Well, let's explain this. Let's define this. Let's unpack this. So anger is our active response. Anger is not something we do. Anger is something that we do. It's not something that we're given. I can't make you angry. I can provoke you. If you grew up in a house with any siblings, brothers and sisters, you know that they could be very provocative and provoking. Like, my brother made me angry. Well, he certainly didn't help, but he didn't make you angry. What made you angry is you. It's an activity. It's an action. It's not static. You can't just, walk into, I can't just give you a pill and you be angry. You are actively responding to something. It's an active response to something, something that's come into your world, your field of vision that isn't quite right. And it's whole personed. It involves and engages your entire being. It involves your beliefs about man, God, the world. I'll be quick. I did a study on Puritan, the way Puritans thought. It's a whole other topic. But one of the things that I appreciate is there's a separation of our feelings and our thinking, our motives, our affections, are the core of who you are and what you believe. Your motives impact the way you think. They're separate, but they impact the way you think. Because of your motivations, because of your affections, because of what you hold dear, what you love and view about the world, about God, that impacts the way you think. And the way you think then impacts your actions and words. So there's a progression. And your whole, when you are angry, it's not like just part of you is angry. You, the whole of who you are, has been impacted. It's whole person. Your motivations have been threatened. And therefore, you're thinking this isn't right. And therefore, you're going to say something, you're going to do something because of that anger. It's whole person. And it is a response against something. It's always a response against. It always is a reaction. Anger may be provoked, but it's never caused by anything external. And it is a negative moral judgment. Anger arises from a judicial sense of right and wrong. Anger is always opposed to perceived evil. That's key to understand this, because this is where we often go wrong. Perceived evil. Your world says this is right and this is wrong, and something has happened, and you're like, this thing is perceived as a threat to what I love, to what I think is good. And so it needs to be, it's a negative moral, it's wrong. Even if their thinking is completely wacky when you're angry, and often is, you're still thinking somehow, you're resolving your mind that this, the reason you're angry is because this is bad. And it's bad because of our perceived, very key, perceived evil. It arises against personal perceptions. Anger is not against evil as much as it's against what a person believes impedes their own personal good. So I did this lecture once at a church, and I had a young... Actually, I'll save this for a second. I'll save that story for the next point. All right, so now to discern between righteous and unrighteous anger, there are always three questions that you need to ask. These three questions. Now, here's the thing. You might be thinking, why bother? Like 99.99% of the time, I know my anger is unrighteous. Why bother having these three questions to figure out whether I'm unrighteous or righteous? These are not questions to figure out whether your anger is righteous or unrighteous. These are questions, these are diagnostic questions to ask yourself, to ask other people when they're struggling with their anger. Where did your anger go wrong? Where did your response, what makes your anger wrong? All right, so there's three questions to ask. Question number one, is your anger a reaction to actual sin? Does the Bible call what you're reacting to as sin, or are you angry because your preferences weren't being met? The story I was about to share fits better here. I remember teaching this, this lady comes up, and we're going through the questions. She realized earlier that same morning, she had gotten angry at her toddler, her 2-year-old. sweet little girl. She said she was really excited about the conference. She was like, she packed up, she was ready to go. She needed to drop off her daughter at her mom's house, and her daughter was being a two-year-old. She was like just taking forever and, you know, head in the clouds and not realizing mommy wants to go. And she said that she got angry at her daughter because, and she felt quite righteous, quite, you know, vindicated for being angry at her daughter because her daughter was like taking her time, her sweet time. And so as we were going through this, she realized, you know, my daughter was just being a two-year-old. My preference was that we would just be really quick to on the go, but she was not doing anything wrong. She wasn't sinning against me. She was just being a two-year-old, and my preference wasn't being met. So because my preference wasn't being met, I got angry. She never sinned against me. I wasn't angry against actual sin. I was angry against perceived evil, perception being my preference wasn't being met. See how quickly we go wrong? Does your anger focus on God and his concerns? What are the motivations driving your anger? Now, here's a very interesting thing I've done a number of times in marriage counseling. I'm going to pick on the guy. We'll be talking about, you know, marital conflict, and the husband feels quite vindicated that he has righteous anger. He has a right to be angry. And I was like, okay, well, let's talk about that. Let me ask you these three questions. First, is your anger a reaction to actual sin? Yeah, she shouldn't have talked to me like that. She shouldn't have said those things to me. Fair enough. Okay. Let me ask you the second question. Does your anger focus on God and his concerns? I kid you not, I've seen this guy straightens up like, yeah. I'm very concerned about my wife's relationship with God, and she's, you know, she's my wife. She shouldn't be talking to me or anybody like that. And you know, and I kind of go, yeah, right. No, I didn't say that. I think that, but I go, well, you know, let me give it to you. Okay, sure. You're all of a sudden you're very concerned about the righteousness of your wife. Here's the third question. Does your anger coexist with other godly qualities and express itself in godly ways? So even if you say yes to questions one and two, for your anger to be righteous, this is where often we get knocked out. For your anger to be righteous, it must be carried in total submission to the Word of God. Does anger coexist with all the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Is it all there when you're angry? I mean, when your wife, who you're very spiritually concerned about, when she did sinfully, you know, swear at you, and you responded by swearing back at her, was your anger justified? Was it balanced with love, joy, peace, gentleness, self-control? Maybe not. Maybe your anger wasn't righteous. Yeah, maybe not. So again, these three questions are great for diagnostics. They don't, I mean, honestly, 99.9%. Anger is one of those, it's like humility. The moment you think you have it, gone. The moment you think you're humble, missed it again, you know? The moment you think you're righteously angry, so I kind of, that's my default, right? I think that should be our default. These questions are great because they're diagnostics. How did I go wrong? What am I angry about? What is it about this anger, this way I'm feeling, this way I'm responding that is not right? And this is incredibly helpful. So, you know, let's look at thinking about Jill here. Jill is, she's this woman who's driving reckless. She's driving on the road and some reckless driver cuts her off. And she swerves to the gutter lane, to the express lane, the emergency lane to avoid this, narrowly avoiding this terrible car accident, and she's really upset, and she, you know, immediately just swears under breath, gets mad, gives the one finger salute. You know what that means. Now, was she angry? Was her anger a reaction to actual sin? Yes, illegally driving. Was her anger focused on God and his concerns? No, probably not. Did her anger coexist with other godly qualities? No, definitely not. So her anger was obviously sinful. All right, I'm going to give one more illustration, and then we're going to end it here, because I think this is these three questions are really, really the key in discerning and understanding our sinful anger. If you turn to Acts 17, or I'll just tell you the story. Acts 17, 16 to 34, Paul is in Athens, and Paul has just gone through a series of difficult missionary journeys, and he's tired. And he's there in Athens, and he's waiting for Timothy and Silas to come along and for him to continue. So he's just waiting. He's just hanging out in Athens. And if you know the story, you know what happens. He's walking around, and he sees all these, you know, actually verses 16 and 17. It says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked. Okay, in the Greek, it's very clear. He was angry. That's what it means. His spirit was, he was angered within himself and saw the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. So let's ask Paul the three questions here. Paul, was your anger a reaction to actual sin? Yes. Rampant idolatry everywhere. The people who knew the word, his fellow kinsmen in the synagogues, were not preaching the word. And so he is angry that the one true God isn't being represented here. He's the idolatry is awful. Is Paul's anger focused on God and his concerns? Yes, people are going to hell. God is not being worshipped. His focus and his anger was focused on the fact that this is not the way we're supposed to live. And did Paul's anger coexist with other godly qualities and express itself in godly ways? Yes, because what did Paul do with this anger? As he was provoked within himself, what did he do? He preached the gospel. He loved those people. He fought the idols. He fought the ideologies. He fought them head on with the gospel, the truth, the power of the word. He went into the synagogue. He took his time to reason. He had a break. This was his break. He was like, I'm going to rest until those guys come over and then we'll start a missionary journey. This was his time off. He had a respite. He's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go. That was why, because anger is an emotion that occurs when something that we see is wrong, we want to tear it down. He saw idolatry, he wanted to tear it down. With what? The gospel. That's an example of righteous anger. Is it possible? Absolutely. In Ephesians 4, 27, 28, you know, it's the only time in the entire Bible that I know of, you can tell me if I'm wrong, that I can know of where it actually gives an expressed allowance to be angry. Be angry, like, go ahead, you've been sinned against, but do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give it opportunity, so that there be no opportunity for the devil. So basically, if I said, you can go ahead and touch this item, and then I give three really serious warnings, you know that, okay, I mean, is it possible to be righteously angry? Sure. But the concept is it's so toxic, it's so dangerous. I'm going to give you three warnings. Don't sin. You know, make sure that you deal with it quickly. You know, and as you're dealing with it quickly, make sure that you deal with it so that bitterness doesn't set in. Because if you don't deal with it very quickly, that anger will turn into a toxic way of shading everything that you see about that person, about the things in your life, so that bitterness would set in. That's the opportunity. Don't give the opportunity for the devil. So being angry is it's a part of the human condition, living in a fallen world especially. But our calling in Christ is to deal with it righteously and to deal with it where we go wrong. Now I'm going to very quickly just because you have the notes. What am I going to do? We're done. But I'm going to put, I think, the most important screen here. What do you do with it? I think this will be your page. I forget what the page number is. I'm going to leave this one up because this is how you deal with it as personally. With your own anger. Before the anger hits, You need to confess, pray, make a plan. It's very important in counseling. You know that you're gonna, you know you're on the upward cycle and you're gonna go down again. Have a plan for when things go wrong again. During times of you're being tempted, pray. Ask yourself the three questions. As it's happening, memorize those three questions. They're really easy. As they're happening, I'll get people who are struggling with anger to say, okay, tell me where you're going wrong. Is it preference? Then you don't have, you know, like, realize as it's happening, where are you going wrong with whatever's provoking you to be angry? And practice the put off and put on dynamic, you know, taking off the fleshly responses and putting on the Christ-like responses. After you've been angry, ask yourself those three questions again. Take care of your sin and anger. Confess and ask for forgiveness. Ask for accountability. And, you know, and then repeat. That's how you deal with that problem in anger. It's a process. All right. It is 5 past the time that Tom said stop. So we're going to end now. And I think it's a break time or Q&A? All right.